As I was greeting you this morning, I was reminded of how many godly women and mothers that we have in this church, and I am so very thankful for you and for your testimony. And I'm married to one of them, and she's at home watching this and listening with Josh. And so, dear, I am so thankful for you. Excuse me. Now, I know that Tyler did a great job of teaching out of Proverbs 31 4 years ago. Some of you weren't here then, by the way. In fact, probably a good portion of you weren't here then, but that's all right. In fact, we could just play the tape of that on the screens here and we'd be fine. But it would also, because it's so significant and so important for us, we could do this every year at this time. In fact, we could do it more often than that, because it is an important portrait of one of the really mainstays of Christianity, and the backbone of it is godly women, godly mothers who impact the lives of all of us men, and really everyone around them. This being Mother's Day, we will concentrate on wives and moms. But what I want to tell you, and because some of you, as soon as I said that, tuned out, don't tune out. Because the general principles that we're going to talk about in relation to God-fearing moms that love the Lord and exemplify that in their life pertain to everyone here. Those same principles. We will look at mom's role, but the real issue is always an issue of our heart, isn't it? Is your heart right with God and set to please Him? We spoke last Sunday about the acceleration of evil in these last of the last days. And it should go without saying, it is contingent upon us. We in Christ Jesus in this strained time to be lights against the evil madness that is permeating, unfortunately, our society. We are not only under a curse, but the prince of this world, Satan, of course, knows his time is short and he's seeking whom he may destroy. And everything from rejecting God's word and attacking and redefining our morals, the murder of babies and the deviancy of sexual identity, pressing humanism and false religion, and the destruction of God's defined home, and on and on and on, are all present around us. And oh, we must have clear vision. We must have clear vision. Even more individually, what is being pressed upon us in this age in which we live? Foremost is selfism. Making self the center of my life with a continual emphasis on my rights, my self-esteem, our deserving, and a focus on pleasures and all of the my stuff that goes on. There's a superficial type of thinking that is prevalent today and popular, and it's concern for gratification rather than a concern for character, and spending life blindly for the immediate rather than for God Himself, and desiring things more than we desire God. Pressing upon us is the world's thinking. And it's wrapped in packages to appeal to the flesh. It's set up like a mouse trap to destroy those who buy into it. And these timeless satanic methods must be overcome and prayerfully rejected by God's people, knowing God's word. And here in this portion of Proverbs 31 is a blueprint of a godly woman. May I remind you that God gave us, you know this, three institutions that are exceedingly important. He gave us the family, the government, and the church. But if there is one institution, not contingent upon us in every way, leaning upon God, but if there's one institution that we individually can control more than we can the other institutions of which our culture has accepted, it is our home. Indeed, it is the last shield from our sinful, chaotic nation, or an apostate church even around us. And these words of Lemuel give us an overcoming model mom. Beautiful. Wonderful. One who does not fit the world's idea of femininity and motherhood, but God's ideal of that, His purpose of that, which is should be the purpose that we desire foremost. The modern woman is focused on personal ambition, on rights, and on self. And so what we see in Proverbs 31 is the exception. A woman that does not really fit the society's norm. Not only would an unsaved woman not desire what we're going to study today, but this portrait from God cannot work in one's own natural strength. It must be the power of God working through us for us to fulfill our godly role. And so I'm approaching this text, like all text, from the inside out. What do I mean? Well, I'm talking about the heart again. But the unsaved person, they may love their children, and they do love their children. I don't deny that. But in loving their children, they also love their sin. And that is a major problem, because that is why there is abortion. That is why there is child abuse. That is why there is neglect and unfaithfulness and all shades of problems that arise in between. But this is the person each Christian wife and mother should prayerfully desire to be, and the kind of wife and Christian man should also seek for his spouse. And she is the model mom, not from something that we manufacture, but from God Himself, the inspired word of God through Lemuel here. Now, in looking at this, because, you know, it's not possible for me to go through 21 verses unless we're here all afternoon, I've used adjectives in this outline to really get the sweet juice out of it, so to speak, and paint a picture. And these fit a Christian mom, a woman living by the grace of God and defying the culture and defying the effects of sin, overcoming those things. And much of this portrait is formed around domestic activities, and rightfully so, because these are also instructive and consistent with the New Testament. In fact, I'm going to get us started by looking at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and I want to focus in, let's begin in verse 4. Here is Paul challenging Titus, his son in the faith. He says, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And how do they do that? He says in verse 5, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, right in the middle of this is to be a worker at home. Now, you may say, well, that was just the culture then. Well, if so, was the to be sensible? Was that the culture then? Was to be pure? To be subject to their own husbands? Was that just the culture? So that the word of God would not be dishonored? Was that also the culture? You see, this is an emphatic statement, a command, really, through Titus, from the Apostle Paul, or to us today, that is timeless. It is no more or less than the other commands here. In other words, it is God's intention for wives and moms to be first and foremost domestic. That's the place or the position that God designed that cannot be replaced by something else. Now, at the University of Illinois is a woman named Vivian Gorman who's teaching feminism. And this is a common deal, you know, in the universities today, unfortunately. And she makes the statement that homemaking is an illegitimate profession. Homemaking's an illegitimate profession. The Word of God declares it is the woman's profession foremost. Do you get that? Now, who am I going to believe? Vivian? I could ask for hands here, but I won't. Or am I going to believe God? Vivian or God? Beloved, we can't improve upon what God has designed. And I've used adjectives in my outline to paint a picture, and these fit a Christian mom, a woman living by the grace of God here. And much of this is formed around her domestic service. The bottom line is to see her attitude driving these duties. And it is to have an overriding circumstance kind of mentality because the person is clinging to the Lord and doing what God would have them to do. And the bottom line is to see her attitude driving these duties. And so what I've done is I've summarized these adjectives of describing her in seven things here, and she's the dear model wife and mom. And so we're going to begin, if you're following or looking at the outline at all, with that she is superlative. And by being superlative, I mean that she is precious and rare and valuable. Now, anybody can be a conformist to humanism and all the isms that engulf the world and the ism kind of thinking that goes on. This woman is different. Her blueprint and her joy is all founded upon the Word of God and what is pleasing to Him. She's not the norm. She is rare. She is remarkable. She is remarkable. And this word excellent, now we are in verse 10. We are in verse 10 of Proverbs 31. It says, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. And that word excellent in Hebrew means strength with efficiency. Strength with efficiency. It is such a powerful word. It is the same Hebrew word for strength that is described of an army in Exodus 14:4. This sweet God fearing woman has that kind of strength, you see, because it's in Christ, it's in God. And also, this is the same word Moses used for selecting the judges that you may recall he did in Exodus 18:21. So for any finite person, this is the highest compliment that could be paid from God Himself, this word excellence here, you see. For any finite person, this is way up on the chart. It's almost otherworldly, and it reminds me of the Sermon of the Mount when He say, who can find? What did Christ say? He talked about the narrow road and the broad road and the narrow gate and the broad gate, and He talked about that narrow gate, which is the path to everlasting life, and of course that broad road and with the broad gate, it looked like the right one, but it was a place of leading to destruction. And you see, He said it was hard to find. Well, here it is. Who can find? You see, the same kind of concept here is that a woman like this is scarce and rare, and it reminds us of that. The emphasis is on something to be sought, the true ideal Christian wife, a woman of Christ-likeness, you see. This is for those desiring God's will and God's way. Oh, I hope that's you today. Oh, I hope that's you. And He says this is a refreshing portrait to know about God's fruit, because that's what all of this is really about. It's the fruit of this woman. And we may be reminded also in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount that Christ talked about that, didn't He? By their fruit you shall know them. What they produce. And nobody can emulate or produce greater fruit or the God-honoring kind of fruit only that God looks at and accepts other than a God-fearing, loving woman who's doing the will of God regardless of what someone else may think. The world has a different agenda. And too often those even in the church allow the attitudes of the world to influence their thinking rather than God's word. And this is not worthy of a Christian to do that. Because this is what is most valuable. And to emulate, ladies. And you want to be valuable. And so I pray that you're committed to God's wisdom. And foremost is the need for true life in Christ. And the need to walk with God, see things correctly, desire to please Him, committed to His will. And this is the reason that she can be called superlative here, is because of that. Flip over, and I'll get to the passage one of these days. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just for a moment. Paul deals with this issue of the huge gulf between light and darkness, between those that know God and follow Him and those that do not. He says in verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We always go here for counsel when we're talking to someone about getting married, because we know that a Christian is not supposed to marry a non-Christian. And some here married what they thought was a Christian, but the spouse has turned on them, and that is a different situation. And by the way, there's counsel for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But the point is that we must not be influenced by the standard of those unsaved in the world. And regardless of our situation, whether we're married to a Christian or not married, or with or children or without children, the adjective picture drawn here is really for every Christian. Male or female, doesn't matter. Whether we have children or we don't have children, this is for us. This is for us. And so superlative on the outline speaks of her character fitting her attitude and actions. And this is why she's praised. Because she is real. She is genuine inside. And we're looking at her as God looks at her. And her value is expressed as great because of her relation to Christ, to God Almighty. Down in verse 30, the bottom line of this is that she fears the Lord. That fear there is a right understanding of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the King of Kings. And she has reverence, and she listens first and foremost to Him and not to all the other voices that are apart from Him. And this drives her right focus, and it gives her value. And it says in verse 31, back in our text, verse 31, that her works praise her because she is a new creation. And as a new creation, these qualities are her fruit, causing her praise first from God and then from others. The remainder of these qualities display why she is so superlative. The second one I have here is she is scrupulous or trustworthy. There's an unstated contrast with this, with the world's entertaining view of things, where it's sort of like, and I hope you've never watched that, but you probably accidentally looked at it for a minute, the Jerry Springer show. Okay? That's the idea of the modern relationships of family and so forth. But here we have, in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Think of the freedom of total reliability that the husband has on her, because she is consistently a blessing. She makes wise decisions at the grocery store or the dress shop or wherever. And many families have split apart over distrust in these basic areas of day-to-day living. You can look at verse 12 and it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The husband has absolute confidence. Even down in verse 16, it talks about that she buys a field. She is not independent from her husband, but is instead so trusted that she has the ability to operate within the boundary that he knows that every decision that she will make will be in the best interest of him and of the family. Down in verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The gates were the place of leadership. And she adds credence to him, to the family name. In other words, she dignifies and blesses his reputation. You go down to verse 25, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing. In other words, she is just possessed with honor. She speaks with dignity. Verse 25b says, and she smiles at the future. By her faith in God, she's not worrisome, not fretting of the future. And it shows that she has absolute confidence in God. And therefore, she is a blessing, pointing others to the same kind of confidence in God. When we get to verse 13, we start into the serving business. And we see that she is, in that service, she is very diligent. It says that she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. The bulk of the passage is a devotion to being a homemaker again. And it says her delight. None of these tasks are beneath her. She again has the mind of Christ, who, what did the Lord Jesus do with his disciples? He washed their feet. Stinky feet. Little children have stinky feet too, right? Among some other things. Mamas do amazing things. Mamas do amazing things. And we get to verse 15 and it says, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Shown in actuality, and Mama, you may be getting tired of always having to be at both ends of the time. Up early and to bed late and working like all giddy up in between. God looks at that. You see here, he takes it into account. He calls this a blessing. She's a diligent example. I know in my home, my mom was the first riser in my growing years. And I would awake to the smell of bacon and eggs. I didn't have an alarm clock. That was the alarm clock. Jan did the same thing, which is a reminder that it just seems like these actions, these activities that honor the Lord get passed from generation to generation. And frankly, thinking about all that on this Mother's Day gives me bumps. You know what I mean, up to my spine. I am so grateful. I took it for granted then, but I don't now. And most often after dark, there was cleaning and mending and preparing for the next day, which is so wonderful. Children, be ahead of me. When I was a kid, I just thought that was Mama, you know. Think of how blessed you are for your mama. How blessed you are. The self mindset today is what? Leisure? Idleness? Let someone else do it. After all, I'm so important. Me first kind of mentality. But not this one, you see. She was a servant. Down in verse 18 of this passage, it says, she senses that her gain is good, her lamp does not go out at night. There it is again. And then down in verse 27, the latter part of that, it says, and does not eat the bread of idleness. All the effort produces an immediate good and an everlasting kind of good, because it produces a testimony of love and the fact that she is giving herself away. And again, this will pass to the next generation as well. Verse 21 says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. She's not living helter-skelter, but she's thinking ahead and preparing. She's mindful constantly of the need of her family and puts that first and works hard to stay ahead of things. And it fits right in then with the fourth one here, which is sacrificial, which has the idea of devoted. Look at verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household. I could not help but think of the words of Christ, which are really found in all four Gospels. But for example, Matthew 16:25, he talks about the fact that he who seeks to gain his life will lose it. He who puts himself first, who doesn't have this sacrificial mindset doing the will of God, but he says he that loses his life will find it. You see that principle there? Oh, it's just the opposite of what the natural person would think. And her focus, you see, is never self. It's attention to pleasing her household. And indicated here is this consistent godly interaction that she has. She looks well to the ways of her household. Would indicate that the lines of communication are open. She's on top of each child and their concerns and needs, and when they need correction, and when they need instruction, and all of that. She sacrifices her time and life on behalf of everyone else in the home. Just like the Lord Jesus sacrificed himself on a much larger scale for all that would come to faith in him. Remember that the Lord Jesus said he did not come to be served, but to serve. The King of Kings, the one who made us, the made all things, came to serve. Career moms often think they're sacrificing for their children. But instead, what are they doing? They're sacrificing their children. The nanny, the daycare center, or just running wild without mom is not the answer that they need. It's not a clear understanding of the fact that all of us, including our children, who may be so loving, it appears, and sweet and cute and all that, but they're still little sinners that need Christ. They need to be pointed in the right direction. They need to be corrected. And the blessing of a holy mother who is standing guard over their soul and over their heart and directing them in the paths of righteousness is so very, very important. If you work outside the home, never do it by choice or for selfish reasons to the detriment of your household. And I know that some have to do that out of necessity of the circumstances, but never do it for selfish reasons. That's the world standard, not the standard that God says is best. Number five is sagacious, and that has to do with wisdom. This is a person that acts in wisdom. Verse 26a says she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Her speech is the dignity of wisdom with kindness. And this is really her hallmark. Her words are gracious because they're in keeping, because she's been walking with and knowing the Lord, and they're in keeping with her Lord. If we back up to verse 24, it says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. She uses her skills to further benefit her family. She's industrious. bringing even a return to the family. She has the ability to enhance the account of the family. She's a giver. A giver, not a taker. Not a taker. The world would have us all to be takers. What's in it for me? But the attitude should be one of, what can I do to be a blessing? What can I do to be a blessing? Back up in verse 16, it says, she considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. That word considers means that she thinks everything through. And her thinking, of course, is interconnected with the precious word of God. So her considering, her thinking is attached to her love and devotion to Christ and devotion to the word of God and to pleasing Him foremost. And she invests her money, and it says, from her earnings, she's a person saving and managing for the benefit of her family. And of course, this speaks of frugality, speaks of wisdom. It speaks of, again, in every area that we can look at for this woman, she is a blessing. Verse 14 says that she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. You know, growing up, I remember, and Jan has done this too, clipping out the coupons, and you go to Piggly Wiggly over here. Y'all remember Piggly Wiggly? And over here, Safeway or something. This was before HEB. And in various stores, you know, you get certain things over here, and you get certain things over here, and you knew just what to buy over here and just what to buy over there, and the distances didn't matter. The inconvenience didn't matter. And back in that day, she had to walk. Then the whole point is that she shops well. You know that many a spouse has brought a family into literal bankruptcy by spending foolishly or demanding impractical things to the detriment of the family. But not this woman. She goes out of her way and everything that she can do to be a blessing and a benefit. Number six here is selfless. Not selfish, but selfless. Selfish, but selfless. In other words, she's generous. Look at verse 20. With all that she has to do, it says, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. And this idea of extends her hand, stretches her hands, means that they don't come to her begging. She goes to them. She remembers those in need. And this demonstrates, again, her heart of compassion like her Lord. She has a Christ-like heart. And then we get to number seven, which is spiritual. And of course, this is the biggie. This is the platform that everything else rests on. By grace are you saved. You see, she's not earning her salvation here. That's not what's taking place. What's taking place is that she has salvation, and as a result of that, she is showing that in her life circumstances. She is following the path of righteousness. She loves her Lord, and she's serving Him by serving others and doing His will, you see, and God's grace, you see, is seen in all of this. Look at verse 26, the latter part. It says, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The teaching of kindness. Her mouth, in other words, is edifying. Why? Obviously, she spends time with the Lord. If you go back to the latter part of verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. And then back to, or down to verse 30, where it says the latter part there, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, she has a right relationship with God. And that's it. That's the bottom line of everything. That's the bottom line for every person that is here today or in the sound of my voice. Do you have a right relation with God? Are you leaning upon Him? Forget all of this clutter. Forget all the tinsel. Forget all the junk that will carry you away, that will lead you down the road to destruction. Are you following Christ Jesus? That's the issue, isn't it? What else is going to matter when they're all said and done? Nothing will matter by contrast. You know, it says of the ungodly, and that's the bottom line of their problem. When Paul is talking about the depravity of man and his fallen condition in Romans chapter 3, he says in verse 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now you see that all around you, brethren. It's everywhere you turn. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no reverence. There's no respect of Him. There's no consideration of them, of Him. But you see, this is first and foremost in her life. And that's why the Lord Jesus would say, you will know them by their fruits. And you see, her fruit is just sticking out of the pages here, isn't it? You can just pick it. It's just all over the place. And the same is true with us today. Oh, I'm so thankful for the fruit. We could line up here and pat each other on the back for the fruit that I see in you. And God's going to reward that fruit. The blessing of it that you are to those around you is so significant. You see, she has a tremendous testimony. So strong that it says, again, initially of her, that her value, and literally that's above rubies that he's talking here, that her value is greater than the riches of the world. Do you get that? And I don't care, you know, if she lives in the little house down the street or whatever, her value is greater than the guy living in the people living in the palaces, because she knows Christ Jesus and she's living to please Him. She's bearing eternal fruit in her life because she's lovely on the inside. And oh, what a pleasure and what a joy it is to be around people that bear that. They radiate that. And I know that so many of you do. And this morning, as a reminder of this, moms and really everyone here, do you want to be like this woman? Look at verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You see, this is in the Word of God. This is this picture that has been given to us. And it is God's endorsement of the grace that is shown through her and is carried on to the children, is carried on to the dad, and radiates into the community, is known in the gates. Now, I've known situations, and I'm not going to call any names, or you can figure this out yourself. But I've known of situations where a child would resent their mom because she didn't act like the other moms. She wasn't running around doing all the things that other moms do. But you know what? They got over it. And now, just like this right here, they couldn't praise her name enough. They couldn't thank God enough for her and her testimony. The point being, Mom, hang in there. Whether you're appreciated or not appreciated, whether you feel like that sometimes that your living for Christ is just vain in the sense that you're not accomplishing anything, you are. You are. And may I just remind you that the objectives, the adjectives, again, used here, apply to every person, mom or no mom, man or woman. What are we talking about? Christ-like character. And what dividends does it pay? I want to close by going over to 2 Timothy. And you probably know where I'm going. We're going to the end of the Apostle Paul's life in 2 Timothy. And by the way, the context is very much like today. He's talked about in the last times, and he's talked about people that want to have their ears tickled instead of hearing the truth of God's word, and all of those things. He's in the worst of prisons and the worst of situations and all of that. But he says in chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Do you know that's really all that matters, isn't it? Is there something else above that? You see, everything that we have and everything that we own and all, we're going to leave all of that behind. And the only thing that matters is our service to Him in glory. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And so, I said that I was going to close there, but I'm not. I'm sorry. Well, I've still got 10 minutes. Flip back a page or two to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Paul is talking to his son in the faith here, Timothy, very important person. And he says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. Notice where it comes from and the seeds that blossomed. He says, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. You see how important that is? You want your children to know Jesus Christ. Nothing matters, even comes close to anything other than that. Flip over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Here's this difficult times will come. Here's the whole world going away. Here's the whole society. Here is the culture rotting and all the craziness and the madness, which is just like the day in which we live. And what does Paul say? You, however, this gets down to the individual in our face, doesn't it? You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Notice this, verse 15, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. How important. Mom, is your testimony, and really everybody here. How very, very important. So that the adjectives here given picture you. Superlative, scrupulous, serving, sacrificial, sagacious, selfless, and spiritual. Behind many who love God is a godly mother. It was so in the scriptures, people like Moses and Samuel and Timothy and on and on. And in the church age, it's been people like Augustine and Spurgeon and Wesley and G. Campbell Morgan and on the list goes. And I hope that we can put our name in there, in our little world, I know that, because this is what truly matters. And so in advance, I thank you, moms. I thank you, ladies. I exhort you, contend for the faith. Trust God. Submit unto Him. By God's grace, be this portrait woman that God has given us as a blueprint to follow. You will hear the words of praise that we went to earlier. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That's what matters. Father, how we thank you for the mothers that are here. We thank you for all of the women. And we thank you, Father, for the girls that are growing up here that may someday be mothers themselves and wives. Oh, Lord, may they be fitted upon your holy and precious word, trusting you, living for you, being a light in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. In this time of darkness, may they shine, Father, to the praise and honor and glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for them and we praise you, Lord, for your kindness in giving them to us. Hallelujah. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.